So we're holding here in the piece Chav Zion. So it says, "Ksiv vayered Shimshon Timnasa, uksiv hinei chamich erla Timnasa." Amar Abloza Shimshon shenisganabok ksiv be Yurida, Yehuda shenisalabok ksiv be Aliyah. So Lemaisa, the Chazal over here have the you know, on the word Timnasa, they say, you know, whether it's a Yurida or Aliyah, dependent on the person. So now the Gemara is going to go off on a tangent, which is not Gadata. Is very frequent. There is no mesechta, there's no real topic. So sometimes on a topic you'll have, l'mash on kas, you'll have a lot on chanufa. Sometimes it goes in order of, the same amira has a bunch of memories, and sometimes mainly linyan. And saita is a mesechta, has a lot of agadata. So this is very typical. So once we're talking about yudin tenasa, there's going to be a piece here. And the truth is, this sort of begins to segue into the next. A lot deals with the obviously mohos and Mitzrayim. A lot of the material is that type. Rav Shmuel Nachmani Oma Tarti Timnas Have Chad Biyud Chad Beliyah. Rav Shmuel Nachmani says no, there were two timnas. One is goes up, one, you know, one is on a hill, one's in a valley. Rav Papa Machad Timnas Have the Osim Aygisi Ridas Maygisa Aliyah Gavardanu Bivri Veshuka Dinarish. Fine. Vateishu Peschenayim Omer Alexandria. Malamit Shaholcha Vyoshala Bipisal Shavarma Vinu, Mokam Shakolanaim Mitzapis the Raisa. So she sat in a very prominent place, Thomas. She wanted to engage Yehuda, and therefore she sat down in the Pisal Shavarma Vinu. Ravinu was dead already 100 years, but I guess it was like a place that was like a national monument of sorts. It was an important place. Reb Chanin Ama Mokam Hu Sheshmei Naim, Vichin Oime Tapuach Vainam. It means Kishatava. She answered a lot of problems. She sort of engaged Yehuda with a lot of heterim. Yehuda was wary of living with somebody that would be an Isser. And Bemela, she had a good answer for everything. Kishatava. When he asked for her, Amala, he said, Shema, when she, Amala, Shema Nachisat, maybe you're Goya. Amala Giyaris, and she said, I'm Giyaris. Shema Isis Ishat, Amala Pnuyani. Shema Kibel Bachavicha Kdushin, Amala Yisaymani. Shema Tmeyat, Amala Tahirani. So she had answers for everything, and everything worked very, very well. So the Masha is over here. And Maral asks, and we'll see the Maral in a minute. The Maral asks, "Yisaymani v'kasha, the soif hikalosa v'kalosa asura." I mean, what's the point of all of it? Tachlis, she actually was asa to him, so she was able to get around all the other surim. But what about kalosa? So Chazal just telling us that she was deceptive. He didn't think of it as kalosa. What's the point over here? Of the Chazal, so it's interesting. There is just in halachic wise.
Sorry, just a question.
Yes. What?
Again, there's no Klal Yisrael, so it says Shema Goya Ani or Shema Giyaros. What? That's also
I don't know. Good question. In other words, the musig of Geiros requires a Klal Yisrael. So there was a musig of. Hanefesh asher osu b'choron, there was a musig of there was Avraham Avinu and Bris, there was miknes kaspoy, there was yilid boyas. My assumption would be that whatever it is, she's shayach to the world of Yehuda. I don't know. There really was no geirus beforehand because geirus, like I said, includes being part of Klal Yisrael. I'm not sure. I mean, there was some musig, I guess, of being shayach, being a maimon, maybe, being shayach not to be oved avodah zarah, but it is strange. But the Maral's question is soif soif kalosa kalosa surah. So there's a Ben Ish Chai here. And by the way, I wanted to wish a mazel tov to Rabbi Stoll. He had a boy, so we can tiskel the gadol talk with my son Tovim. the question is, so the Ben Ish Chai gives a halachic chap teretz along the lines of she was a Yisoma, so the first person that was Mekabel Kedushin for her, the Kedushin wasn't Chal, and Bemela, it she never was a Kalosi. That's more or less, he works it out. He works out a very nice halachic, in Mahalach over here, where since the first Kedushin never landed, everything else afterwards was nothing. The same man he's gone back and before, fine. So Moral says, V'yurai, kimipnei kach in... Yes.
Why don't you just say that she knew it was Yibum, so that that wasn't a problem? She knew.
Let's see what he. Let's see what he says, and we'll talk about it. Okay. So the Yira kimipnekach in asum shum kalosoi ki kemoi she nitchem in atoyra iseches achiv she asur elav in atoyra vafilu ach Yibum doichosa vloy odif ise kalosoi afilum kalosoi asur lebnei noyach mitzus Yibum doichosoi. It's a kalosa in avi abal ika yibn, lakach aval giv shachim, and kol kum iskal se nitcha lafuke itzel ochiv nitcha se se achiv, a koid matur sha Yisrael, lohil kol kacha isu, vay nitcha isu chamer, gam kein avga she ika yibn, rak ba achiv. So let's see brief what the Moral talk says, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. So Moral says, this was a mitzv yibum, zakim yibum, even though the point that the Moral is making is, even though the halacha of Yibum is only HSach, and everybody else, there is no Yibum, so the Moral's chiddush is as follows. It's not that there's no Yibum, it's that the mitzvah's Yibum cannot be doche any other iser. So it's not based on the fact that Yibum is only shaykh in HSach, it's the fact that the only issa that's nitche is eshesach, and the male kalosa wouldn't be nitche. Mashein came before Matan Torah, the issa wasn't so chomer, and therefore she could get married, which goes back into Peter's point about manavshach was the Yisrael, was the not Yisrael, and so on. I want to go off and speak more about the teichen of it, and I guess it has some sort of kesha to like Bomer. The Moral is touching on a point that the Nefesh HaChayim makes, a point that he makes. The Ramban talks about it and says it in his way. The bottom line is, according to all of them, is Torah comes in two halakim. There is, we'll call it the ideal of Torah, the Teichen of Torah, and the tzivuyim of Torah. So, and let's take an example. For instance, the tzedakah. Tzedakah, let's call it chesed. Chesed is a value. It's an hug of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a teichen. And then the Torah was mitzaveh. How much am I obligated? When am I obligated? Who takes preference? What is it teichen? What is it not teich, and so on. So if we're to look at the Torah has in itself a tochen, and it has in itself a kli. The tochen itself, l'mashal, it says alpayim shana Torah was kadam to the olam. But there are many mitzvahs that came about because of events. Had Yaakov not wrestled with the Malach, would there be Gira Noshe? Just to take one example, forget about Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matzah and Mor and all those things. What about, a lot of the mitzvahs relate to historical events. So what does it mean, Alpayim Shana Koidem? It actually says that Adam HaRishon had a Tainat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, you came to me and said, oh, yeah, my kin, don't eat from the Eitz HaDaas, because if you eat, you're going to die. Well, there's this Torah already 2,000 years old that says about Paraduma and Tummy Mace. What's that all about? If I have a real choice, where's that coming from? So that was the issue. So the Baal HaTanya says it. I mean, he speaks on a few places. He mentions this point, and he is Meirich in a Mimer. I think it's in Parashas Baalos, if I'm not mistaken. Shlach, somewhere there. Shlach, maybe. He speaks about Lemoshel. It says in the Zohar Kaddish that the sticks that Yaakov Avinu peeled to put down by the sheep was a pchina of tefillin, because it has the black and white. What shaykhs after tefillin? What shaykhs is it? And his point is as follows. The Torah itself comes in a very abstract teichen, a teichen that belongs to a very high world, which means that it really doesn't have a specific shape or form. And as it comes down into our world, it takes on more of a specific shape and form. Let's take a mushel. A mathematical formula, x squared equals y, could mean any one of a million things or more, any one of an infinite amount of things. There are many phenomena in this world that fit that equation. But once I apply it and I say, okay, I have a field that is 3 feet by 3 feet, how many square feet is the field? The answer is 9. So x has now become the sides of the field. Y has become the square footage of the field. It has taken a very, very definite shape and form, and that's what it is. So now we're talking about a field, and we're talking about the square footage and so on. So the world of Ratzon Hashem and mitzvahs comes in an infinite amount of varieties, from the most abstract to the most concrete. So what happened on Har Sinai was, Vayera Hashem Lahar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down, means the world of Torah came into the physical Metzias that we occupy. Now, two things happen because of that. And it's important to understand that they are just about simultaneous. One is, it takes on a definite form, and that form becomes its frozen image. L'moshel, l'ois al yadecha, l'toytafayz beinenecha, could mean many things. When it came into our world, it became film boxes with parashas, and that's exactly what it is, nothing more, nothing less. And exactly, the tzura is a very physical tzura. That's one thing that happened when it came down. There's a second thing, and this is more, this is a little bit finer point. It became a tzivui automatically. Let's understand the difference between an ideal and a tzivui. A tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the way we understand it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing us to do something, and we're going to do that. That's an outside way of looking at it. A tzivui is, it's a reality. In other words, it's the way a science description of what happens to you when you do X, Y, or Z. When a scientist says eating or drinking this or the other thing will cause the following effect, and therefore you should not drink, it's not a suggestion, it's telling you a metzias. A tzivui is a metzias. Rabbi Shapiro Zvonbacher once said, a Gvaldika point, the Rambam brings a raya that for Mashiach, that Bal Korchot is going to be a Mashiach. One of his strong raya, one of the rayas, I mean, one of his prominent rayas, is that there's a mitzvah to have Ari Miklot. And 6 Ari Miklot, they never wore more than 3 Ari Miklot. So Bal Korchoch there will come a time when there will be three more miklat. Since it's impossible with a new king, there's going to be a second version of the monarchy. So the question is, it doesn't say in the Vu in the Torah that there's going to be six Ar Miklat. There's a tzivui. There's a tzivui to make Ar Miklat. We didn't do it. We did wrong. But where does the Rambam get his achreach from? And so Moshe said that tzivuyim are not suggestions. A tzivui has the same toikif like a mitzias. And b'meila v'kach baruch said you have to. Each person has bechira. That is correct. Each person it has the bechira to do or not to do, but mitzad the bria, just like who Omar vayehi, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said yehi or, it became or, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says sheish orim, you should set aside for a miklot, then sheish orim is what happens. Any one person may or may not be mekayim it, any one dor may not mekayim it, but it's not a suggestion. The world of tzivui is mitzias, the way in which the world of it's part of the reality of the world. I have a little bit raya. It's very interesting.
What
it's,
about Benzer Umayre Lehev Lanivra?
So that's pshat, the pashta pshat of there is it was given lechatchila as a drush. It was given only as Torah. So mitzad it's ikum mitzias was never meant to be in iskayim. Arim Miklat was a definitive tzivui. You know, I mean, it's two things. Actually, one is sorry, Besar Amora was never told that you have to have a Besar Amora. It was given as you know, if you wish, if there is a Besar Amora, do this and this. Just like if nobody was spoken Shahar, it could not be Tzaras. But Arim Miklat was a tzivui to do. The tzivui landed it as a tzivui. It wasn't saying if and when. It said, yes, if we come to Eretz Yisrael, make Sheshar Miklat. We came to Eretz, so we never did it. And besides, and also there could be the pshat is that it was given as a, it was given as Jeroi Shekab Eschad. That's its etzim mitzias of the mitzvah. The tzura is a mitzvah that has no tzura b'mitzias, and that's a mitzura, only as a theory. Just like I have a parallel for it also. In math, I don't know for those of you familiar, you have an item called I, which is the square root of minus one. The square root of minus one is like Hayav LeNivra. There's nothing in the world that will give you a square root of minus one, but it's a very, very, very important number. There are no two numbers that multiplied will become minus one. It's impossible. And yet, the number is a highly important number that figures in many equations that have a mitzias. So how it works, not sure. You know, but that's its mitzias. Al-Kopanim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the world. The Olam HaRuchni has a Sheirish, which is Kulei Ruchni. Its most distinguishing characteristic is that it is extremely abstract and can lend itself to many forms. Just like when we speak of Mishpat. What is Mishpat? A million cases I can map out that are fulfillment to Mishpat. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu projected that world of mitzvahs into our, that world of ideals, let's call them, into our mitzvahs. And as they intersected our Metzias, they took on specific shape and form. You get it in another place, like the Ramban, when he speaks about Nevuah. Once a Navi makes some sort of physical simen, that Nevuah must happen because it's already crossed into our world. Again, I hate using these mishalim, but they're so good. It's a in one of the things we have in quantum physics is that a particle or a group of particles have an unknown state until one of them is observed. As soon as one is observed, everyone immediately gets an identity, and the understanding is not we didn't know until now, but be'etzim has no identity. And the minute we observe it, the second, split second we observe it, all the pieces fall into place. It's a mashal. If it's true, if that, you know, again, this is it's a theory. It's true. I mean, it's a very it's a theory. it's very strong, but it's still theory. And that would be an accurate reflection of something which comes from a sheirish that is undefined. And as it crosses our world, it becomes defined. That's the way I would understand this idiom. Let's understand a little bit in terms of our approach to these two shrushim, these two almost opposite poles of the world of mitzvahs. If we understand the world of mitzvahs only in terms of our physical world, then we've basically cut off these hanhagas that we're doing to anything greater than that. So we can describe all the mitzvahs in as a way in which life is lived beautifully and wonderfully and remarkably and so on. And it's true. All mitzvahs have, like Rav Shaul Hirsch does, they have meaning and great meaning and profound meaning in the world that we live in. And therefore, all those mitzvahs can be described as such. It's perfectly valid. But if we cut it off at that point, and the only point about Hilchas Nida is to have a nice family life, so that things don't get boring, then basically we've truncated it. We've taken the last piece of it, the piece that flows into our world, and that's it. We've cut it off from anything more or deeper and so on. On the other hand, it used to be that we could relate, the others could relate to the ideals. There was a great danger in that, to be able yourself to figure out the Olam HaMaisa from the Olam beyond Maisa, above Maisa, and so on, is something that is very difficult. And almost nobody can do it perfectly well. It's to be able to figure out all Lamaisa had implemented is really beyond. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvahs and maisim in a very specific tzura and oifin. Today, if we can't skip that step, there's no way we can go to the ideal and bypass the mitzvah maisis, because it's an avera for us. And that's why. But our real understanding of the world of mitzvahs that we have, it's a portal to understand the beyond and the beyond and the beyond. So Reb Shimon, the whole musig, the whole chachma that Reb Shimon Yochai was megala to us was the infinite ladder that connects. Halacha is the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it intersects our world. It's as the light rays cross over into our atmosphere, they get a color, they get a certain they get a certain curvature, everything about it, they get a certain brightness or lose a certain brightness. That is the light in our world. But to be able to understand the rungs in that ladder that go beyond the world, that was the gilui of Reb Shimon Yochai, and he gave us the tools. He gave us the understanding that everything goes beyond, and the understanding that the more intrinsic emes is lamala, despite the fact that when it comes to us, it becomes a very specific tzura and so on. On a lamaisic level, just because I had to talk it out always, is there was always a tug of war between the two sides. Now, let me mention in the what do we gain out of knowing this pnimius, that fact that, you know, the abstract part of it. So one is the etzem knowledge itself makes a person a bigger person. We who understand that knowing and understanding has to be the oisi, when a person that has a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the world of mitzvahs a much deeper way than just merely, you know, the simple fact of it, that's a maila. Two, there's a certain avodas Hashem in tefillah with kavanis and so on. And there's one more area which I think is I'd like to focus on a little bit. When I want to do halacha lemaisa, I need a shachar. I need a mishnah brura. So halacha lemaisa, what does a pair of tefillin look like? I need to go to mishnah brura. Even hidurim in halacha, mishnah brura is my best guide. Which shittas are brought? Why is this shita brought? How does the Chavetz Chaim treat it? Well, whatever, it's not on the mishnah brura. It's a shachar and so on. Let's say I want to be mehader in avodas Hashem. Doing tefillin in what way will make tefillin a deeper mitzvah? Will I reach a deeper nekuda within the world of tefillin? For that, I need a different sefer, something that clues me into the oimek of it. I can't be mehader in something unless I understand the teichin. Lamashal, if I ask somebody, I'm going, Baal Tshuva comes to Yerushalayim, I'm going to somebody's house, what can I bring him as a gift for Shabbos? I'll tell him a bottle of wine. It's okay. So if I follow his instructions, I bring the exact bottle of wine, I was Yotzei Chavasi. This person was very, very nice to me, and I want to add something to it. So is the pshat because wine is used for Kiddush? So maybe bringing two chalices for Motzi, that's the Nekuda? Maybe because wine is expensive, and so if I find something else that's expensive, another food expensive, that'll do the trick. Maybe because wine requires a good taste for it, so something else. What's the nekuda? If a person just says, here, take this box and bring it, for me to extrapolate to something else is impossible, because I don't know, what does it represent? Is this wine because it's very traditional? So that, are there other traditional things? I need to have some shaychus to understanding what it is about it that I could say like it. Any enhancement in avodas Hashem, so things that we talk about that we do it al pi Kabbalah, the correct way of evaluating that is it means it's a hiddur that draws its understanding of it being a hiddur because it's coming from the word of Kabbalah. It could be hiddur in mitzvahs. It could be hiddur in hanhag. It could be a hiddur in hanhag and so on and so forth. So when the world of Hasidus brought in the awareness of Kabbalah and made it sort of more approachable, so one mila was people began to understand mitzvahs as vehicles to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It also gave a certain chiyus. I was able to know what to tap into emotionally. And, you know, understanding, even if I don't know exactly what the words mean, understanding that this mitzvah is a chibah to this, it's a chibah to this, and so on. That was very helpful. It allowed also minhagim. Minhagim are what we call minhagim, not the Gemara's minhagim, which means how to paskin, but what we call minhag are really enhancements to the tzura mitzvah. So what is the tzura in a shul? What is most important in a shul? Is it punctuality? Is it seder? Is it something else? So hopefully drawing from the world of plemius, a person, a tzibur finds what it wants and so on. The flip side was, and this was an area that obviously caused great concern to the non-Hasidic world, to the Misnagdim, and this is what Nefesh HaChaim is all about, was by magnifying and explaining how infinite the Pnimius is and how limited Chitzonius is, people will trample Chitzonius and go straight for the Pnimius. So if I know how to daven Kavana and Kavana Sadeika, so with the Zman Tfilah becomes unimportant. I recently read a story, two stories I'll share, in very, very hush of Chassidish works. But this is not you know, the stuff that dumped. These are things that, there was a Yid, Shlomo Yosef Zevin. He was a huge Shlomo Chacham, one of the founders of Encyclopedia Talmudis, fascinating personality, know-it-all type of person, Mamish, call it Turk. He lived in Chov Amos Yerushalayim, he died in the 70s, early 70s. He was also a Chabadnik of the old type, not a Lubavitcher Chabad, Kapust. He was a Chassidish person. He was kind of a bit Mizrahi, like a Rav Kook type of person. That was the type of personality. He was a very interesting person. But he has a called Sipur Chassidim Ma'adim, Sipur Chassidim Teira. Very, very fine works. It was the stories there past his filter of a chashva person, of a big time chacham. He has a story where two Hasidim were coming close, Erev Hashanah, like very close to Bein Hashemashes. they were coming to a town, and they found out as they got to the town, there's no sheif in the town. They could go to the next town where there's a sheif, but they would get there after Ben Hashmashes, which meant they would be driving in Ben Hashmashes to a town to get a sheif, which the halacha, unfortunately, means that you can't. So one of the chassidim started slowing down. The other one grabbed the whip. The other one was a Chabad chassid. And he whipped it, and the horse galloped off. And the guy asked him, what are you doing? My rabbi taught me a Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to. So he said, your rabbi taught you a Mishnah. My rabbi taught me what Kiyas Sheif is. And if you know what Kiyas Sheif is, you would know that you have to, even to be Mechal Yontif, you do it. Now, a story like that is closed apikorsis. I'm being melamed zchus. Either the story never happened, or if it happened, the person had a heta, he had a different shkia. There are a lot of ways to answer the story, but kipshuto, that story is bad hashkafa. I just saw a few weeks ago, three, four weeks ago, I saw a story in a very fine sefer. The sefer is called Sif Sechein. It's a series of sfarim that takes all the Kabbalah and Yanim in Sifre Chassidus, is Malakitim Fiseda Ma'adim in a Seder with brings Vert around it. Very well done. It's a very popular work. And he has a story, the following story about the Divrei Chaim, and it's brought in 2, 3, 4 places of Chashur Sfarim. So that means the story is a story that's passed on as being, you know, that somebody was in Divrei Chaim's Medrash sitting next to him. I forgot the very Chashur person. And it was Shviya Shel Pesach. And the Divrei Chaim was saying Yalav Yavoy, he was benching, saying Yalav Yavoy, or he was davening, he was saying Yalav Yavoy. And he said, Yoyim Chag HaShavuos Hazeh. And he corrected him, he said, no, it's Chag HaPesach, Zman Cheroseinu, whatever. So he's saying, Zman, you know, Chag HaShavuos. And he came home and says, I forgot who this was, the girl that says, one of the, and he was very happy because he himself also had felt the Eiris of Shavuos already, and he understood that we need 7 weeks to be Misakin ourselves from Matan Torah. He already, on the 7th day of Pesach, once he went through 1 week of it, he did everything was needed, and he could already, he was Shavuos, the Eiris that he saw was Shavuos. Now, again, I can understand the story. Maybe he was older than Divrei Chaim and he was confused. And this was kind of a limud zchus on him. You know, kind of a nice way of saying that even when the Rebbe is not fully cogent, but what comes out of his lips is emes, I could hear that story. I could even understand it that the Rebbe Taka was holding in such a high place that he was a getter of an oinus. I don't know. You know what? But to bring a story like that, and to make it something which is public fodder that you can say it over as something to strive to is terrible. Because what you're saying is that your sense of the iris and whatever it is, it trumps halacha. And that's an absolute no-no. You know, there is nothing. There is nothing, and that's the Nefesh HaChaim's point. If it misses halacha, then it is not worth anything. So the downside of the gilui of the giluim was, and this is what Chazal told us. Chazal told us that, you know, in the Torah that Rav Shneur Choy gave us, arba nechsul apardis, and only one came out, who gained tremendously by it, and everyone else lost everything. Valaidavu, it's very hard to understand. How does is something so good or something so bad? What is it? And the answer is, once we have a mahalach, so Lamashal, let's go back, I guess let's finish up with what he started. The concept of Yibum is a person is responsible for his B'nai Mishpacha. And if somebody leaves this world not having finished what he was supposed to do, then I, as a relative, have the achrayas to carry it on. It's Nagea parents pass away, I try to do my simtovim, say Kaddish, I do my simtovim to carry on whatever it is that they gave me and to be mamshich. The Torah said it is, it's true about marrying relatives who left childless, which means the person never got an ability to bring payers in this world. You're bringing payers for him. Is a way in which it brings his payers. How it works? It works. The Torah is, so let's take three examples. Eish Esach, the Torah says yes. The Yibum in this case is something that is so important and it's so powerful that even the Issa Eish Esach, the Torah will push aside. Torah pushed aside Eish Esach and told us this is more important. Any other Isurim, so marrying Kalosai when your son didn't leave over children is also a Kiyum of Yibum. But the Torah said, for whatever reason, that this Yibum will not push away that ever. Before there was a Tzivui, before Matan Torah, it was possible that a person would latch onto the value of Yibum, and either if there was no Isser before a Tzivui, then he was free to make a decision if it could be Deichir or not. It could be the way the Maral says that it wasn't. The not having a tzivui wasn't so strong because it was Yisrael. I don't know. There's a third case, and that's why I want to. The case by Rus and Boaz, that also was under, Ramban says, it was under the general heading, the rubric of Yibum. In other words, the family branches of mine that have become stunted, that have become amputated, I have responsibility to make sure it has redemption. So he was a cousin, the Nisuin was mutter, and yet, even though the Nisuin was extremely onerous, there's a sefer on Rus, a tremendous sefer called Nachas Yol Sefer. It's written with the old style Musa, where it brings out points with the old style Musa. And he explains, you know, when we look at the Sefer, we don't chap ispailos of Boaz marrying Rus. He said, let me put it to you in words what it meant. Boaz was Kal Yisrael's Gadol Hador, the man with the longest white beard from Shevet Yehuda, the Chashev, the Shevet Hador, the Zaken Hador, and everything. His relatives had run off and married a Shiksa. Excuse me for the word, a pretty blonde shiksa from Moab, who had come back to Yisrael, and he had some sort of, she was working in his field, he was 120, and she was this young woman, and she was working in his field, and they had this mysterious meeting, and he announces his marriage to her. Well, what does it look like? Well, what does it feel like? What does Levaya look like? Instead of the big Leviah notices, you know, Nafatel Seshenu, there would be signs by Void Rishon Rina, the same manufacturers in Eretz Yisrael, they have both sets of plates. So you know, they have them ready for all occasions. So you know, he was disgracing himself. And you know, his cousin didn't want to marry her for that reason. His cousin said, you got to be kidding. I mean, you want me to jump into a sick bed with somebody who's, They everyone had died because the Kashmir punished them. And yeah, somebody said she's a Balas Tshuva. Okay, good. So she's a Gyeres Balas Tshuva. And he's the Gadol Hador. And, you know, the Teretz says, but I have a responsibility for them. And I have to do it. I think, so the Musig of the Yibum in terms of the obligation responsibility was there. And there was no Isser. So this is where it correctly applies itself. To take the content of what the Torah wants and to move it forward. So, Kapanim, Shuvichai's Torah is for us enlightening in two ways. One is it opens our eyes that Torah is not as closed as the circle I am. It goes much, much beyond that. It's an infinite. It starts here. The lowest rung is here about my life. And my well-being, and it goes up all the way to Shemayim. that's one area. So as a person zeichet misamik is able to see that trail leading to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And secondly, we can broaden our religious life tremendously. And the minhage that chassidim bring in. So when a person asks, what's the makor for this, what's the makor for that? The intuition of people that are real Ovdei Hashem, of a tzibur of Ovdei Hashem, led by Higim, has validity because they're tapping to something. As long as it's not crossing over at all, any lies halacha, it's something that's part of his gift to us, was the ability to get a sense of the teichna of halacha that we can broaden our world of ma'isim as well.
Is it shaykh to say that yechidim, I'm talking only yechidim, like the question that, like the stories that the Rebbe said, that they, again, only yechidim, but they knew somehow how to go back to the time of the Avos in a way, meaning, so it's still possible to say to everyone, and therefore Nefesh HaChayim had to possible to the world, but is it possible that that's...
I you know what, forgetting about, I cannot believe it because it's this mitzvah, the slope is slippery, yeah, that's slippery. I mean, two reasons. First of all, I've yet to meet the person that doesn't think that he's different than everybody else. You know, that you know. Secondly, by what criteria? There's no way. In other words, Zaysatar Lotei Mukhlefes. The world of Tzivui. The only my limud schus is that people have done things. As long as there's a sheet in halacha, if it's a stretch in halacha, but it exists in halacha, and then the person chooses to do it al piderech, what he felt is avoided, that's acceptable. But if something is absolutely us in halacha, then it can't be accepted. So, you know, once you open up and say yechidim, then it's a slippery slope. Then it's a question more or less. It's no longer a question of absolute. And you know, it's the way Yeshaya told. I mean, this is the Chazal that the Gemara brings in Brachas, that the Nefesh HaChayim brings as the Seid Mutzak for these Inyanim. Chizkiyahu did not get married, and he was sentenced to die because of it. And Yeshaya came to tell him, you are going to die because... And he told him, I have very good reason to get married. I have Ruach HaKodesh, and I know that my kid is going to be Menashe, who will destroy Klal Yisrael. And he was. And in fact, he did. So for me to get married means I'm bringing in the monster that will destroy Klal Yisrael. And Yeshaya told him, Behadi kash rechman olamli, that's none of your business. Almai de mifkedis avidis, whatever you were told to do, do. You're a soldier. Your job is to carry out a command. And it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to worry about the results. And that Gemara is a most powerful Gemara, and that's an Nefesh HaChaim's basis for it. And that's why very strongly Barta. I don't have a problem if something is forgivable. In other words, every group has their weak point. Rav Shach, when he came out B'Shaita against Chabad with Sukkah and not sleeping with Sukkah, he didn't talk about, I heard a speech in Vilayama, he didn't talk about they're not sleeping in a sukkah. Everybody does something. Every group pulls the blanket a little bit in one direction. There's always an open spot somewhere else. His point was they justified it, quote unquote, with a pilpul, and the pilpul was off the wall. You know that every chassid is kosher to the rebbe, and the rebbe is on a madrega where he's a mitzvah, so they also have a din of mitzvah. It's that things that halachically are just ludicrous, and that's what Rav Shach came out against. He was, you know, not some circles. Everyone's got their weaknesses. Everyone, you know, as long as a person understands a weakness for a weakness and understands that he's not, you know, they're a little bit in exuberance, you overdid it, fine. But if you make a sheet out of it, it's very dangerous.
Basically, the world has had the world. This is my understanding of the Nefesh HaChaim. The world has totally changed. Therefore, we can't tap. The others were able to do this, but basically, the world has changed, or just because we're mitzvah.
The rules of the game have changed. Until the others, it was, you know, what you do on your own, and once it's like It's like in the army. If you're not in the army and you do something very, very brave, you're commended for it. If in your army you were told to do A and instead you do B, except for the Israeli army, where people disobey orders and if they're successful, they become very big generals. In most armies, you get court-martialed because you were successful in this case, but destroyed the army. Everybody thinks he's a chacham. So the overriding, the overarching value of the army is sticking to orders. Because without that, even if you were matzeich in this battle, you will lose 100 other battles. Okay.
Was this a chelak of Adam Arishan's chet also? That he thought
Yes, Adam Arishan's chet was, he tried to rationalize why he would do it, that it would be better that way, and so on. And at the end, there was that element, and he had had one tzivui. You know, and that tzivui, he was, and even though Ki'ilu, the Nachash was telling him, if you want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is an even better way to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The point of it all is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by eating it. And he was wrong. There are no cheshbonos when it comes to, in Chachma Das and Tfunin Eged Hashem. Okay.
Abba, I just want to welcome, there's a new participant this year.
Yeah.
Ozer Maskowski.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Where are you from?
I'm originally Manchester, England. I'm a Talmud of Rebokitz. I'm in Eugene, Oregon.
You're now in Eugene, Oregon?
Yeah.
I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon next week.
Yeah, I hope to be there for Shabbos. I don't know if I can get away from my shul here.
How far is Eugene from Portland?
An hour and a half.
Okay, let's say that. Good, looking forward. Okay.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Just about the connecting to the mitzvahs through daharing the mitzvahs and connecting to the deeper meaning behind the mitzvahs. How do we understand that approach as opposed to what the Chinuch talks about of Adam Nifalach or Pulaisov, that through doing the Maisa mitzvahs, a person, so to speak, connects to the mitzvahs? What is that a different mahalach, or how does one connect to the deeper?
No, so let's take something. Let's take something that we used to, and then understand the two. Let's say I'm trying in the old fashioned days when it was fashionable to force violin lessons on a kid whether he liked it or not. So you have a kid, you teach him how to play a violin. So there are two things you do. One is you talk to him about a deeper appreciation of music. Explain to him what it is. What are you expecting him to hear in the music and understand? And also by playing it and being part of it, you get that understanding also. These are two, each one has a different purpose. One is to understand where to focus and where you're headed with this. And the other one is, unless you do something, doing something it helps you get the idea. Even if you don't understand firsthand, a lot of times by doing it, you get that. So, each one contributes something else. It's like, when you want to train somebody for mitzvahs, to talk about Shabbos and explain all the deep meanings is going to give you a fraction of doing. On the other hand, if you say you want to come Saturday morning, we have a special meal we eat, you'll really enjoy the meal, that does not bring him further along religiously. So you want to explain to the person what the tachlis is, what the mechuvin is, and then you also want him to experience it. And the two together bring a person towards the goal. Okay. Guten, the Seder.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Shabbos.